The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events, and also what we hear in church on Sunday. Well, how does that line up with Scripture? And so if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN, and we'll do our very best to answer those questions for you. You know, a lot of times when we read our Bibles, when we share our faith, people will ask us a question, or even when we read, we'll come across something we don't understand. Well, that's why we like to get together every weekday afternoon at this time to answer those questions for you. And so again, on this Friday afternoon, we want to just encourage you to do that. 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call, and you can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest and longtime friend, Danny Lehman, who is Dean of the College of Christian Ministries, campuses scattered throughout, plus the former very head guy here at YWAM in Kona, Hawaii, and all the outreaches that they've done. And Danny, over all the years that you've shared and encouraged people, young people, to go out and share their faith, welcome to the programs.
Thank you. Good to be here. It's been a while.
Yeah, and look forward to being back with you as well more often. And Danny, I know you've just come out with a brand new book. Tell us about it. Now it's on its way. It's going to be here any minute.
I just talked to the truck driver just a half hour ago, and he promised me it'll be here Monday morning. So anyway, but I've got one copy right here, and it's called Clues. How Can We Know? Question mark. And so I play a little around a little bit with the subject of certainty. There's actually a book out, an unfortunate book out by a theologian called The Sin of Certainty. And that kind of bugged me. So I was looking it up and I went, well, now, wait a minute. It says in Hebrews that faith is the substance of things that are hoped for and the evidence of certainty about things we cannot see. So can we be absolutely, absolutely sure? Well, you've got evidence in the Bible that points. And I call those things clues. So it says in the book of 1 John, by this you may know that you have eternal life. So there's some kind of a gray area between believing and knowing. And of course, we can know because John says we can know. And of course, in 1 John, the word know is mentioned about 21 times. So my point was in the book is to try to give young people, especially, it's a very thin book, only about 112 pages, but it's mostly aimed at millennials and Gen Yers or Gen Zs. Young people who might not have time to read a big, thick book by Josh McDowell or somebody like that, but I just put it in bite-sized chunks to give you basic answers. It's kind of like it's every man an answer in print.
That's great. And I remember Josh McDowell book that did come out a couple of decades ago called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Yes. Yeah. But it was very exhaustive. I mean, this was a very large book. He did a great job and really explaining every angle of it. But because of its size and because of its intimidating look, I think a smaller version, you know, Danny, is right in line with what we can use today. And certainly people do need evidence for their faith. You know, I've talked to a lot of people in different religions over the years, as I know you have. And I'll ask them, well, why do you believe this about your church or what your leaders are telling you? Well, I just believe it. That isn't good enough for me. I've got to have evidence for faith. And, you know, when you study science, there is evidence for our faith. There is evidence that God created everything, and it had to be created all at once. When you see the symbiotic relationship between plants and animals, that animal can only eat the leaves off of that particular tree and no other, had to be created at the same time. And when you look at all these different ingredients, it shows us that it could not have happened over billions and billions of years. Not only would you have trouble with the diameter of the sun, the temperatures on the earth, but you would have all kinds of problems if you go back the billions of years they need for evolution. So it isn't that you have to put your brain in neutral when you walk into church, that there is evidence for our faith. And unfortunately, the colleges, the schools today do everything they can do to undermine it, just writing it off as fictitious religion, one of many millions of beliefs that are out there. But the Bible says, and Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so I really believe, Danny, that, again, when we find anything in a concise manner, like perhaps your book, that will be a great demonstration for anyone, millennials and all those right now, that have been sown so much doubt by the school system, by the educational system in America, I really believe this is a very timely thing to have out.
Yeah, I've got a... If you don't mind, just a couple of quotes here from my book.
Yeah.
Theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking, who we've all heard of before, the man, he died a few years ago. He had that terrible disease. But he says, quote, in real time, the universe has a beginning. Robert Jastrow, these are non-Christian scientists. Robert Jastrow declared, now we see how the astronomical evidence leads to a biblical view of the origin of the world. They admit the evidence points to the Big Bang theory that the universe had a beginning, a first cause. Again, to quote Stephen Hawking, almost everyone in the scientific community now believes that the universe had, the universe and time itself had a beginning at the Big Bang. Well, that's just Genesis 1:1. And you probably had on your program before or heard of William Lane Craig. And he's got a little logical formula that he's worked out. He calls it the Kalam cosmological argument. And it's 3 points. And the points are, that which begins to exist had a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause. We choose to call that God the Jehovah God, or a God that's the infinite personal God. Other people have different ideas about that God. But what I try to bring out in the science part of my book is at least plausible. Don't just throw it out because some science professor said so. Look at what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And nowadays, science has finally caught up to the Bible and are giving us good reasons to believe.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's so important that not only can we defend our faith, but actually you can rip to shreds the whole fantasy of evolution. Because, again, there's no living life forms of things changing up or changing down. You have no living examples of monkeys becoming humans. You have no living or fossilized records of any of these ideas that Darwin promoted as truth. He called it a theory, but now it's no longer a theory. It's the old saying, if you tell a lie long enough, it'll become fact. Well, that's certainly what they have done in the school system, to the point where, oh yeah, evolution, that's just an accepted fact. It is not. It is completely 100% bogus. And again, there are no fossilized transitory life forms or transitional life forms, and there's no living examples of such either. So that makes it what? A religion about nothing. So when you look at this, you realize what a great God we serve, and God had it right all along. Well, Danny, why don't we go ahead and go to the book? By the way, when can we get a book? When can we do this?
Anytime after Monday.
Anytime after Monday.
You get them directly from me.
Okay. And can you real quickly give us how to find you?
Yeah. Just stokerstuff@gmail.com. All one word, all lowercase, stokerstuff. I wrote another book called Stoked, and I decided to make a publishing house out of Stoker Stuff.
S-T-O-K-E-R? Yep. S-T-U-F-F?
That's it. At gmail.com.
At gmail.com. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. In the meanwhile, let's head off to the phones. We have Phyllis on the line, Yuma, Arizona. Hi, welcome. Phyllis, are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Hello? Welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm from Colorado, not Arizona.
Oh, you are. Yuma, Colorado. You are right. And they had it right. I had it wrong. I just always picture Yuma as Arizona, but there's a Yuma, Colorado. Well, hi and welcome, yes. Phyllis. How may we help?
Yes. It's been probably back in the 60s, somewhere around there, when we were having all the cattle mutilations out here. My friend and I had gone to a small town for her sister's wedding. She was getting married, and we were on our way back to where I live. And on our way, in fact, it was my friend, her, and her two children. Now, her children were in the back of the car, and her and I were in the front, of course, and I was driving. We got to this small town not too far from where I live now, and this UFO came down. We thought at first that it was a helicopter or something. We opened the windows on my friend's side. At this time, I could not see it. And she rolled her windows down. There was no noise, no nothing. Well, then all of a sudden, as I was driving, I looked out my side mirror and saw it, and it was big. I mean, it was just the lights exactly like they say and everything. It followed us for quite a while. I noticed that after it all happened that we was going through this little town, which we should have been through a long time before we were. So time had slowed down for us. And as it was following us, it was slowed down. And then it lifted off and time sped up again. Now, my question is to you is, how do you feel about them? My son seems to think that they are fallen angels. And I was just wondering how you felt about them.
Well, the Bible says, you know, don't be surprised if Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. I imagine if he can do that, he can transform himself into other things as well. His whole game is to deceive people. He's the master deceiver, the father of all lies, the Bible tells us. I don't believe that any of the UFOs that people see or whatever are from some other galaxy. The logistics of it happening, the food that's required, the energy to move literally millions of miles, I do not believe is logical. So I believe they are from here, whether man created or an illusion of the underworld, it probably where I'm setting. But Danny, your thoughts?
That's a good answer, Mike. And I obviously this is a Bible answer show. And so there's nothing in the scriptures. I mean, some people have tried to point out Ezekiel's wheels or, you know, try to make these things fit, but obviously studied in their context, it's silly. But I agree with you. And I think that one way you can tell if something's from the Holy Spirit is it glorifies Jesus Christ. And all of these sightings, and in fact, it was just last week on the news, and we've got real evidence, and we've got three different cameras that, and all these things, they're never scientifically verified, and but we keep hearing about them and so forth. But I think so far, so good. None of them have tried to communicate with us if there are extraterrestrials, but we know our God is the God of the universe, so he would be in control of them as well. And I don't think he's up there with a puppet string playing games with UFOs. But it is an interesting phenomena, and it seems to come up periodically on the news that people have seen something, but a lot of times it just gets proven to not, you know, it's like the crop circles in England, you know, they finally figured that out. And they said that was UFOs for a while. So I think it's not mentioned in the Bible. And I think if God wanted us to know it, he would have put it in the Word.
Yeah. And so I do believe that people do see something. But again, the Bible says, don't be surprised. Satan himself can change himself into an angel of light. That's pretty impressive. I imagine something that resembles something mechanical wouldn't be a hard thing either to do. I do believe that it's very possible that with the reoccurrence of the ideas of UFOs that is currently being propagated may very well lead to what happens to the Christians in the rapture of the church. Because the Bible says a strong delusion will be sent upon the world that they'll believe a lie and whether the Earth has purged itself of the undesirables or whether the UFOs got them. I don't know. But I always notice that kind of activity. And when I see that, I see how vulnerable people are concerning believing things that are a bit ridiculous and taking it as fact. Again, as I mentioned earlier, evolution's got so many holes in it that you can't really look at it as a serious solution of how we all got here. Now, if you want to believe that some UFOs cruise by, drop some people off, I have more respect for that than anybody that is trying to propagate evolution. But people believe it. And so, again, I think that the devil's going to package the whole UFO, the Earth purging itself, Mother Earth is, you know, getting rid of those undesirables. I don't know what they're going, what the lie's going to be, but the Bible says the world's going to buy it, and I believe this is a real, going to be a real issue. Danny, any last thoughts?
No, I think that's about it on that subject.
Yeah, well, Phyllis, I hope that helps.
I do know, I was not a Christian at this time, and I do know that since I have accepted Christ, that I haven't had any more experiences like this. So I'm very thankful for that, because that one time, I don't ever want to see another one. So, but I do know that since I have accepted Christ, I've not seen any.
Yeah, that's what I hear as well. I also have heard people that see these things, even up close, they make no sound. Yeah. And I think that's kind of interesting. I don't exactly know why, but again, Satan is an illusionist. And this is one of the great problems we have. So anyway, Phyllis, no, that's about where the Bible goes. And again, as I stated earlier, I don't believe they're from a far off galaxy. I believe that they are something in the spiritual world. And I believe that the devil is behind it in some way, shape, or form. Again, why? To mislead people. And certainly in the great caught-up that we find mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 and in Thessalonians. So stay in line, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll enjoy, you and your family. 88888. Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Let's go to Christy in California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to you guys every day. I just wanted to say that I wanted to ask you guys a question, because my daughter and I started reading the Bible with her, you know, and she asked the question on regards of dinosaurs, and we couldn't find anything in the Bible where it relates to dinosaurs. And so we can make the connection together. So she sees the dinosaurs fossils, you know, and then in the Bible as well. Would you be able to kind enough to answer that question, sure, please?
Yeah, sure. I believe the reason why the dinosaurs aren't around today, it isn't that God didn't take baby ones onto the ark. I just think that they couldn't survive in a new environment. Probably with a much different oxygen to nitrogen ratio. They have found this even in the fossils, that the nose holes are much too small for an animal of some of these size of skeletons that they find to survive. So it would require a different percentage of oxygen versus nitrogen before the flood. Now, the Bible tells us the wells of the deep broke open, the vapor canopy ruptured around the earth. And after that, even the longevity of man went from almost 1,000 years to, by the time of King David, down to about 70 years. And the only, well, there might be a couple allusions to it, references to it, Danny, but the only one I think of, which is pretty pointed, is Job chapter 40. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was just going to think of Job chapter 40. And even that, it says, well, it's like, it could resemble a tree trunk, or it should be this, could be that. But I think in the context of Job, it's more poetic language, and it's not necessary. It could be dinosaurs. But when people ask questions about dinosaurs, I go back and I say, well, where in context in scripture is it clear that dinosaurs were there? And it's not to be found there. So I would just say it's one of those things the Bible is silent about, except perhaps over there in in the book of Job, chapter 40, as you mentioned, Mike.
Yeah, and if you read it, and I'll just read this for the benefit of people driving down the road in their cars. Behold now the behemoth. This is what God is calling this thing, the behemoth, which I made with you. He eateth grass like an ox. Lo now, his strength is in his loins. His force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth with his tail like a cedar, and sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong as pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. Now, this is found again in Job 40, verse 15, and the next few verses. And the reason why I think that's important is because, you know, what animals do we know today that have a tail like a cedar of Lebanon? We just don't. And so I believe this could be a reference to it. Now, something interesting about the book of Job, it's one of the oldest books that we have. Now, of course, people say, well, what about Genesis? Well, that is a story that God, and I believe probably passed on, even word of mouth from the beginning to Moses, of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, and all. But the book of Job is actually the oldest book of humanity that we have, and it's kind of interesting in some of the things that are described there, because we don't always have the vernacular. They didn't have that then as they do now. I believe it's in chapter 38 of Job, where God is speaking to Job's comforters, lousy bunch of them that they were. And he says, who can send out lightnings to you? Go to you and say, here we are. Hmm. Now, people might look at that and say, oh, what poetic wording. No, if you were back in before Christ came, I can't think of a better way to describe radio and modulated fiber optics than that verse. Who can send out lightnings? The word in the Hebrew is plural, repetitive lightnings, that says that, and it says they can say to you, here we are. Well, that's modulated light. That's modulated radio waves. And they go to you and say, here we are. Man, that's radio, friends. That's fiber optics. And I look at that in the Bible, and there's many things there in the book of Job, I believe, are secrets to many things. In fact, there was one sea captain in the mid-1800s that studied the Bible, and there it says that the oceans are on circuits. Well, he knew what that meant. And so he began to do some exploration and found that in order to go to Europe, if you would drop down several hundred miles from the east coast of the United States, the ocean currents actually would speed up your travel to Europe by weeks, because the oceans are on a circuit. They're actually moving. Well, this guy found that out because he read the Bible. There's a lot of things. You know, I believe it was Getty or one of those other guys, in the whole oil thing, when the Bible says that Moses's mom lined his little basket with pitch and put him in the Nile River and floated him down by where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing, and she had it brought out, and we remember, well, pitch is oil. And so this is what caused a lot of the exploration for oil in the Middle East. And man, it paid off big time. And they're still having peace negotiations over all this. So interesting, the things that are in the book of Job. But that would probably be one of the greatest, addressing it. But as you said, Danny, it doesn't say, and the dinosaurs were... Anyhow, I hope that helps, dear, and Lord bless you so much. You know, Danny, real quick, we're coming up on a break here in a few minutes. Tell us a little bit about YWAM, what it does, how a person listening on the mainland or anywhere else could get involved. We got a couple minutes, so why don't you just tell people how they would become involved in YWAM there in Kona?
Well, we've got Kona's the largest, what we call a base. We use military terminology because of the spiritual warfare factor of our work to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person and make disciples of all the nations. And so we started in 1960, a young Assembly of God minister felt like God could use young people. He used Mary in the Bible as a teenage girl to give birth to Jesus. And young people are mentioned throughout scriptures. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, it tells us in the book of Acts. And so he saw that, the potential of youth, and he released youth into missions. Now, this had never been done before. I mean, like, my golly, you got to go to high school and then college and then seminary. And then by your time you're 27 or 28, you can get out to the mission field. Well, he said, no, let's just send them out while they're young. Yes, they'll make mistakes, but they'll use the youth and the energy and the creativity and the innovation that comes with youth, and they'll be able to get the gospel out into all the world. And so he just started out in Lausanne, Switzerland for the first base over there. Now we've got about 2,000 bases around the world. About 75 of them are in the U.S. And so you can just hit Youth with a Mission, hit YWAM on your Google, and look up where you'd like to go. And you can just call or email those particular bases and say, well, I've got a burden for Mexico. And I might say, well, you go to the base in Tijuana or Ensenada. Or I've got a burden for the Soviet Union. Well, we've got some stuff going out there in the Eastern Bloc. We can get you in touch with them. And of course, things have been slowed down quite a bit because of COVID, and air travel has been limited up until recently. But the issue is that staying with the simple truth of the 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 gospel, Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead. And we can partake of his holiness and partake of his zeal, and especially the zeal of youth. And so that just coincided with the jet travel taking off. And so we were able to jump onto that as well. We've got about 25,000 staff around the world, and are looking to increase that till we reach the whole world with the gospel.
Amen. How great is that? So, we'll give you some more addresses and things coming up. We are coming up on that break. We don't want you to go away. When we come back, we'll have more to Every Man an Answer right after this.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it too. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by April 30th, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
You're listening to CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on almost 400 stations across the nation, including multiple stations in Texas. You can listen in Amarillo, in San Antonio, Odessa, Paris, and many more cities throughout the state. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Yeah. CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
Well, as the different ministries that God has him doing. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And, you know, Danny, real quick, we want to give a couple of addresses out again, how to get your book that's supposed to come out on Monday, as well as how to get involved with YWAM. If you're looking for something to do, you're somebody that's on fire, you're young, you want to do something for God, boy, what a great place to do it, Danny.
Yeah, well, the door's wide open, and we're an interdenominational, international mission organization. So we welcome people from all kinds of different countries. We have been in every nation of the world preaching the gospel. Our founder's done that himself. Guys like me, I've only been to about 35 or 40 countries, but the world is our onion. We want to get the gospel to every single person. As far as how to do it, just hit Youth with a Mission on your Google. And if you're interested in the Eastern Bloc or Latin America, Africa, Asia, the Muslim world, you know, we'd be happy to just kind of hook you up with it. We know a lot of people and a lot of really good people, even people outside of YWAM. We're networking now with Crew and with Wycliffe Bible Translators and a lot of other good Christian organizations to get the gospel out. We've got 27 ships, ocean-going vessels. We started a ministry called Mercy Ships. That, in fact, they were just on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago. And they're a wonderful. They're not technically a part of YWAM, but Don Stevens and his wife, Dion, just doing a great job with Mercy Ships. And then we've got Brett and Karen Curtis, who run a ministry called YWAM Ships. And we've got about 25 smaller vessels. The Mercy Ships ship is giant. It's a big, giant hospital ship, mostly based in Africa. But Don Stevens has a vision to get it into every maritime section of the world. And it's just all about pushing with by God's grace and with his vision and his heart for faith to trust him, that we can reach every person with the gospel in the world, and we can make disciples of all the people groups of the world, which is what Jesus commanded us to do.
Amen.
The Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion.
Yeah, amen. And that's so important. 8880, ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. With that, we'll go back to the phones. We have Dale on the line, Sandpoint, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Oh, man. Well, I need some prayer from you. I've been listening to you for several years. I appreciate all that you do there. I listen to you all day long at work, the preachers and teachers and stuff that you have on there just really uplift me and give me strength. And I have a marriage issue. I've been going through a divorce for the last year, and it's going to finalize here in the end of May.
Yeah.
And I'm giving, it's been a hard thing to release it to God, you know?
Sure.
Love my wife to death, and only been married for, I've been 8.5 years right now. And we got a 6-year-old daughter, brand new home and a bunch of stuff. And about 4 years ago, she told me she didn't love me anymore and wanted to leave. And she told me that Jesus was directing her to do this. And I'm like, there's no stinking way that would ever happen. And it's been there's a lot of details in there, but it's like, this ain't happening. But it's finalizing, and she swears up and down that God is doing this. And basically, I just want prayer for the Red Sea to open, and make something good happen.
Well, you know, spiritual darkness is everywhere. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, I'd like to just follow. What was your first name again, brother?
Dale,
Lord, I'm going to pray for you first, and then maybe just encourage you in some directions you can take. Lord, you say in your word that you hate divorce. You say in your word that it's a covenant between a man and a woman and their God. And we want to ask you, Lord God, for both parties. We know there's a lot of water under the bridge, and there's a lot that Mike and I could never speak to because we're not there. But we do know, Lord, that this is a covenant before you. And I would pray for a sense of the fear of the Lord and the power of God to come upon both sides of this dispute, and that there might be an opening with Dale's wife, Lord God, with regards to possibility of meeting with counselors. I know they've probably already done that. I don't know the issue, but I would just pray, Father, as our brother's obviously brokenhearted, we would ask you to heal up his heart and to charge with faith, trusting you to restore his marriage. And I would pray, Lord, that you would just bless him, Lord, in his efforts, and bless this wife. I'm sure she's got her side of the story. But Lord, we just simply ask you to be bigger than either side of that story and to come through and to rescue. We've seen it happen. Mike Kessler and I have seen it happen so many times, with marriages being restored by the power of God and the ancient, wonderful virtue of humility and forgiveness. And we pray that that would reign in this couple, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And Father, if there's demonic activity, Lord, far as lying, deception, Father, that you would bind that. And Lord, from this woman, so that she would be able to hear your voice again. And so we just ask you that you would take this and take Dale's heart, encourage him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Dale, our prayers are with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a year, actually. It's been so plugged up because all the political stuff going on, you know, it's hard to get through. But
I'm glad you called.
Me too.
Well, I think the best thing, you know, I don't know, Dale, you know, all the particulars. I don't know if there's somebody else in her life. But, you know, I've always told people this, you know, if the train doesn't come into the station on time, go back and find out where it went off the tracks. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times that's where the problems are. You know, I think that there's wisdom there. The Bible says in Proverbs that God holds the knowledge to witty inventions. And sometimes the invention we need is healing in a situation that's beyond our ability to heal it. So we got a great God. We have a big God, Dale, and I would just encourage you to trust him. Thanks. I would encourage you to read Philippians as well, because as your attitude changes, your relationship with God changes, and that is then communicated by others. If they see your wife sees you as a beat down individual, that's not attractive. But I believe that, again, if you refresh yourself in Christ, who you are, Philippians is one of the greatest books that I know about doing that in the New Testament. I would just encourage you to do that and let that very mind that was in Christ be in you. And so, Dale, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and perhaps you can even get those into your wife's hands, okay?
Okay.
You know, another thing, really, Dale, is Mike is bringing up.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Danny.
Philippians chapter 1, there's a prayer that Paul prayed for the Philippians, and in the one of the newer translations in the King James Bible, it says to prove that which is excellent. But in the modern translation, it says, I pray that you may understand what really matters. Yes. And so a good prayer you can pray is, what really matters? This 6-year-old boy, he matters. Your covenant before God matters. Your relationship with your wife matters. Your emotions and your heart and all the other people that are always affected by these things need to be considered. But what really matters? And so many things don't matter. And I just pray that you might be able to walk in what matters and that your wife would as well.
Amen. So our prayers are with you, Dale. Keep us informed. Let us know, and we'll be praying for you, okay?
All right. I really appreciate you guys, man. Thank you so much. And I'm praying for you.
God bless you, and God gets the glory. And stay online. We'll get you a couple of books, a couple of DVDs out to you. Let's go to Michael Bakersfield. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how you doing, Brother Mike, Brother Danny?
Good.
I'm really glad that our Father allowed you to stick around more, Mike.
Yeah.
My question, you guys brought up Stephen Hawkins. And I tried to reach you guys a while ago on this, but and Switzerland. They got that Hadron Collider over there. And I know in our Lord's Word in Revelation, it talks about an abyss being opened up and some demons that are held until the end times. They're going to be let out. I don't believe we're going to be around to see that for those that are in Christ and clothed in his righteousness. But I do know that Stephen Hawkins was recommending that they didn't do what they were trying to do, open a wormhole or porthole or something by smashing those things together. and also they came up with dark matter. Do you guys know anything about this? What's your guys' opinion on it, especially in lines of what we see in Scripture? They're supposed to be scientists, and they have that goddess of Sheba out there in front of it. Anyway, I'll be quiet and listen.
Okay, Danny, your thoughts?
I'm not familiar with that as far as the this thing over in Switzerland or Belgium. I've just never heard of it before. Sorry about
that. What it is, it's a super collider, and it's where they speed up mass electronically as it's propelled, and it goes faster and faster and faster. And in these super colliders, what happens is you end up with all kinds of things that we have not known before. Materials extremely dense as the atoms fuse to one another at a high impact. You have all kinds of other strange phenomena are happening. Now, to really answer your question, Michael, I really don't know much about it. I haven't been following it, just as Danny said as well. I do know that when we start getting into when you start getting in, and this goes along with nuclear fission and all these kinds of things. When you start getting into that, you know, it's interesting. The Bible says God holds all things together. And when you look at the power in an atom, as an example, the movie that we give away, God of Wonders, they say that there's enough atomic energy in one grain of salt, I think it's to heat 15 American houses through an extremely cold winter. Just one grain of salt has enough nuclear energy in it. Well, why is that? Well, if God holds all things together, the very nature of atoms should repel, like charges repel, yet you have the nucleus of the atom, you have the protons, the neutrons and all, they should fling out, but they don't. They hold together. And depending on what the neutrons and the protons are, depends on whether it's wood, metal, you know, flesh, whatever it might be. When you start slamming this stuff together at high rates of speed, I think there's all kinds of crazy things that can happen. Now, whether this thing in some way alters time, space, and matter, I don't know. But the Bible says that there is an abyss that's opened in the book of Revelation in which these demonic creatures come out and torment men that live on the earth. Now, I don't necessarily believe that is something that man does. I believe that it's something that God does. Now, as in a fact, as you read Revelation, any of those could really be caused by man, those plagues that come on the earth, because of our tampering with so many things. But it still, to me, appears that it is God is the one that's allowing these things to happen. And so I believe this pit is opened and closed, most likely by God and probably not by anything that man does. But I will tell you that I do believe as man's technology, and as it says in Isaiah, they'll go to and fro, knowledge will increase. You find all these things happening in our days, only to find out that in all of our wisdom, in all of our knowledge, in all of our research, and all of our technology, we still don't have the solution to man's desperate need for a savior, only found in Jesus Christ. Hope that helps, Michael.
Thank you. Yes, it does. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for my brothers. And Father, we just ask that you would continually recall your word to our memory. Lord Jesus, we thank you for showing us the Father. And we thank you for leaving us the Comforter. So we ask that you would forgive us for any unbelief we have and that we would be about your business until you come. Please continue your hand of protection upon Mike and Danny. And Father, we ask that you would continue to save and build up the next generation. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Michael, stay in line, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs for calling in, and God bless you. And I just want to say a special thank you to all of you who support CSN that make it possible. I couldn't do it by myself, so I just want to share with all of you that pray for CSN, that support CSN. Great is your reward in heaven. Stay in line, Michael. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Sam in Texas. Hi, welcome.
How are you, sir?
Good. How may we help?
Oh, I was thinking of, well, the people thinking of, where'd it go? Evolution. And I've heard you talk about this for a while. But if they're worried about them animals, don't they think they're going to come around again?
Well, that's the kind of the hypocrisy in the whole evolutionary idea, that you have the globalists going, oh, all these animals, the poor polar bears are going to go extinct. Oh, we have the problems with, you know, and they have all these. Well, no biggie, because if evolution's true, hey, man, there's going to be a whole lot of new creations coming out this fall. Yes, the brand new 2021 new animals. But it doesn't happen. In fact, they don't find anywhere that there has been an evolutionary animal ever found. It's made up. And so I think this is pretty, pretty tough. Evolution and witnessing. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, interesting you bring it up. In Acts chapter, in the book of Acts, there are 14 evangelistic messages. And 12 of them are directed towards Jews or people like Lydia, the seller of purple in Acts chapter 16. But the point is, Paul used the scriptures, or Peter used the scriptures, to preach to primarily Jewish people in synagogue-like places, like Pisidian Antioch in chapter 13, Jerusalem in chapter 2 with the Pentecostal sermon. But the two I left out was Lycaonians in Acts chapter 14 in Lystra, and then Acts chapter 17 in Athens. And in both the Athens account, which is directed directly at Greeks, and the Lycaonians in Lystra, which is directed at more what we would call tribal peoples, both of them bring up creation first as an open door. So as far as the evolutionary thing, if you're as knowledgeable as Mike Kessler is and myself about things like evolution, you can get away with a lot of mileage just by simply saying, okay, let's not talk about evolution right now. How about we talk about your soul? And then just talk about the issue of the fact that creation, and this is where we get into Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth shows forth his handiwork. Day after day, they utter his voice. Night after night, they bring forth knowledge about God. So much so that in Romans, it tells us that these people are without excuse. So I'm not saying dodge the issue if you know what you're talking about. But even if you don't have a lot of scientific knowledge about evolution and things like that, isn't it interesting that in the two times that Paul preached the gospel to Greeks or Gentiles or people that were not Jews and did not have a biblical worldview of the Creator, Paul made that the first thing that he said. In up on Mars Hill in the Areopagus, Paul got up and he said, Theos, God who created the universe and so forth. And then he said the same thing. Very interesting. He didn't bring up evolution. I mean, he didn't bring up the issue of creation with those in a Jewish context, because they already believed in God. They're at the synagogues every Saturday learning about God. And so that's where it says in chapter 17, verse 2, Paul's custom was to go into the synagogues and reason with them out of the scriptures. So the scriptures became the interest door. But you don't use that interest door of scripture to people who are out in the middle of the Amazon somewhere, never heard of scripture, never heard about God. So you preach first the Creator God. And that Creator God gave birth to Jesus Christ and so forth. So it's what we call in missionary terms, we call it general revelation, which is creation and conscience. And then there's special revelation, which is the law and the gospel. Now, of course, everybody has been given general revelation, but it's our job to fortify that revelation that they have with the special revelation of the law that brings conviction of sin, and then the gospel that brings forgiveness of sin. And so the... forgive me for rambling, but this whole situation about make much of creation evangelism, make much of God, and then you can use all of these illustrations of the incredible complexity of the human eye and the macro things from out in the universe with galaxies and so forth and the micro things. I mean, just look at this little virus that has changed the whole world because somebody messed with some of God's creation. Don't know who it was. Don't know if it was some bat somewhere or whether it was planned. We don't know. But that little bit of thing. So creation is a holy, H-O-L-Y and W-H-O-L-Y, O-L-Y, that creation is a real creation, a real, should we say, a tactic that God can give us to open them up to the special revelation of the gospel.
And I really believe, to go along with that too, Danny, is that people right now are really, really looking for answers. Mm-hmm. And because they don't find it, we find the health organizations around the world, they change their mind about the 19 virus with the wind. And I think this is a real issue because, again, where do you go for truth? Where do you go to find out what's really going on? So I do believe that, again, reaching out to people where they are, if that's where they're at, this is one of the things too. I wouldn't walk up to somebody that was into evolution and try to convince them immediately that there's a God who created everything, because there's a much more pertinent issue at heart. And that is not how we got here, but where, buddy boy, you're going. And I think that's the important thing, because no matter what you do, you know, either you're right with God or you're not. I've known people that say, yeah, we used to go out partying on Friday and Saturday night. And I remember the first thing I'd do when I'd come home is I'd try to take a shower to wash that feeling off. Well, what feeling is that? The feeling that you violated yourself, the feeling that you violated something greater than yourself, something that you violated maybe even in your future. And so you can't wash it away. It only can be washed away by Jesus's blood. And I think that's the thing that we want to continue to point people to, Sam, is that, we can talk about that. I think one of the things that shuts them up pretty quickly is the lack of transitory or transitional life forms. Transitory life forms are over, a lot of years. Then it finally, the dog finally became a cat. That's a transitory over, thousands or billions of years. That would be transitory. Transitional would be, the dog just had a whole litter and some of them are cats. Well, doesn't happen either. Everything the Bible says reproduced after its own kind. We find that recorded for us in the book of Genesis. This was God's way of explaining DNA to people who didn't know what it was, until our radio microscopes could actually begin to understand what this stuff is and why transmutations don't work. Or maybe I should say, blending a horse with a donkey, you get a mule, but it's sterile because the DNA locks it out. So these are things that I think that we need to do. But again, I think it's what you said, Danny, to begin with, keep the main thing. And that's where humans are in desperate need of a savior. And that's Jesus Christ. Sam, I hope that helps.
Yes, sir. And I do appreciate it. Can you hear me?
Yes. And I want to be sure to send you Evolution versus God, because that's going to help you a lot. And if you come across somebody that's pretty steeped in evolution, you can let them watch this. And it shows why it just can't be. You can have a lot of other theories.
I was thinking of, if there's an animal that's extinct, why are they worried about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, again, there's going to be a whole new group of species coming out next year. It's mutually exclusive. You can't have the idea of vanishing species, whether global warming or something else is killing them off, and be an evolutionist, because there's going to be a whole bunch of new creations coming out soon to a street near you. This is where the problems are. And so I really believe that as we go back, Sam, and show them this, that hey, don't be worried about a species going extinct, because a true evolutionist will say, oh, well, there's going to be a whole bunch more new ones. But the problem is they have no recorded new species anywhere. And that's where the holes come in. That's what this one video does, Evolution versus God. It really knocks the wheels off the bus concerning that. Sam, stay on the line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. And again, Evolution versus God. You really like that. Danny, real quick, give us those addresses right before we close again.
Okay. You can just get a hold of me directly at stokerstuff@gmail.com, S-T-O-K-E-R-S-T-U-F-F at gmail.com. And if you want information about Youth with a Mission, just hit YWAM and pick your country.
Amen.
So, and then you get information from those folks. You can call them up and so forth. There's 70-some YWAM bases in the U.S. and about 2,000 more around the world.
Well, Danny, thanks so much for being on the program. God bless you all. Have a blessed weekend.
That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.